Around 2 years ago, for any of you behind me who don't know, the DIB and the CRA, which are effectively extensions of City Council, used our tax dollars to pay for two police officers specifically tasked with harassing and ultimately arresting our unhoused community downtown. As Pensacola's wealthiest investors continue to populate our local leadership roles, their treatment of our unhoused communities continue to grow crueler and continue to receive more funding.
So this is one of the socialists that showed up at City Hall last... I mean, they're the People's Liberation Party for Socialism and Change or something like that, so I'm not exaggerating. They call themselves that. Charlie Dial. And several people showed up to complain about what they perceived as police mistreatment of the homeless downtown. That's PPD that they're talking about. Jen Brayer, I give her credit for standing up for the police and saying, no, they're doing a good job, and responding and saying, no, we know what you're doing. But I wanted to give Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, a chance to comment on these, I don't know, allegations, charges, complaints, whatever you want to call them. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Candy.
So, you know, charges that you guys are harassing the homeless, that you're overly enforcing things, the camping ordinance, just generally that the purpose of you is to serve the rich people downtown and to get the homeless out of the way, I think generally is the summarized gist of this. Your thoughts, your comment?
Yeah, you know, agendas are agendas, and it's I'm 100% confident that this individual has never walked with these officers that work downtown who go out of their way to listen to the homeless in the area and find out how they got in that position, what they're needing, and how they can be helped to get back on their feet. Those officers do this each and every day. Some of these individuals do want help and go and take the help that the officers are offering. Others simply do not. And the ones that do not, then the officers are down there making sure they're okay. They're bringing them blankets when it gets very cold outside. They're offering them shelter when the weather gets bad. So, it's when I hear something like that, it's almost laughable because this person obviously does not know the police officers that work at the CRA.
And my understanding for the CRA cops was that this was basically because you have so much activity in that area, just, you know, having extra guys out on, not in a car, you know, out on patrol, able to respond quickly to things that happen. That's how I understood the role of the four CRA cops.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, regular patrol officers have to go from call to call. These officers are down there, again, concentrating on the specifics of the problems downtown, and the homeless is part of that.
Sure.
And they're trying their best to get to know each and every one of them and to offer them help.
One of the things that we had just this week is at Workman, we had this a shooting that was outside the school while there was a basketball game. You had one victim with not life-threatening injuries, I understand. And it was cops from inside the school who were working at the gym, I guess, were the ones who responded first, right?
Yeah, they were notified that there were shots fired outside. They immediately left the gym, went outside to investigate, and found a male that had been shot, I believe it was twice. Fortunately for him, the gunshot wounds are not life-threatening, and we understand the shot came from a vehicle and hit the individual who was a pedestrian. So we're glad that it had nothing to do with the students inside. It did not happen inside the school. It happened actually on Langley Avenue. So, yeah, it could have been much worse. I know when I got the phone call, the first thing that came to my mind was start messaging immediately because parents are going to want to know.
Right.
And so we started messaging out on you know, tweets, or, well, it's X now. I'm not sure what you call a tweet on X.
It's the social media network owned by Elon Musk. That's what we're calling it.
Yeah. So I guess it's still tweets. Anyway, we wanted to get the message out as quickly as we could to parents that everyone inside the school was okay and where the reunification spot was, which was Washington High School.
Right. And I mean, you were quick to that, and then we put it online, and WER put it online, and, you know, they try to get that message out as quickly as possible. I appreciate that. But it looks like it was completely unconnected. It just happened to be in proximity. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
All right. Very good. We had obviously another story that made a lot of news was a 3-year-old who found a gun, and apparently it was loaded and chambered and ready, and wound up shooting, I don't know, him or herself. We probably don't release because it's a pediatric case, but tell me what happened here, and I don't know the outcome of it all. What's going to happen to the parents?
Well, you got it. The 3-year-old found the weapon and discharged it and was shot in the arm. And we're very, again, that could have been much worse. We've seen things happen in our area before where the child was not so fortunate. So now the investigation is focusing on how the child got their hands on this weapon, and, you know, there were adults in the home. But we work with DCF, the Department of Children and Families, to do a thorough investigation to see if there was any negligence involved. Sometimes there isn't. Sometimes there just isn't. You know, when you are raising a child, sooner or later, you know, you can think to yourself, I had no idea that he or she was capable of opening a drawer now and picking up a weapon. And, you know, sometimes you've just got to pay a little bit more attention, and accidents do happen. So whether it was negligence or an accident, that's what's under investigation now.
But it is worth mentioning for people who might not be aware that Florida has, you correct me if I'm wrong, but Florida has some pretty stiff, like, protect the kids from a loaded gun laws that you are obligated to have them in safe storage. Now, I have philosophical objections to those laws because I get where they're coming from, but, you know, the way you have a gun in the house is, you know, you got to have it stored and, you know, basically loaded and available, because in the middle of the night, the would-be assailant is not going to stop for you to unlock and load, you know, like all of these things. But the law does say that you are required to protect kids from loaded guns, right?
Yes, it does. So, again, that's what the investigation is focusing on, and I don't want to get too far ahead of it.
Sure.
Once that's complete, we'll let you know. But right now, again, it's still under investigation with us and the DCF.
Very good. We're talking to Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for PPD. Mike, hang on for just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And it looks like the accident in Navarre has been clearing up, so that's good. It is starting to move, 98 eastbound. It's been moving, but it was pretty backed up for a while. So that's clear now. That's good news. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you can certainly let us know and text in your traffic tips, 437-1620. We are News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mike Wood. Obviously, we have the big move for Baptist Hospital coming up on Saturday. We've been talking about this a lot. I want to make sure people know that the ER at the Moreno Street closes at 3 a.m. and the Brent Lane one opens at 3 a.m., that's the transition time. Then there's going to be this day-long process of moving people over. I assume you guys are going to be involved in this and have been coordinating with Baptist, sheriffs, EMS, everybody.
Yes, all of the above. So intersections are going to be held on the route between the Legacy Baptist and the new one. The officers are going to make sure the light is green for the ambulances that are going through to make the transition quicker. And, you know, they will quickly route or get traffic moving again as fast as they can once that's going on. This is going to happen early in the morning or during the day, and it's on a Saturday, so traffic won't be as heavy as it would be during a weekday. So they're going to get it done as quickly as they can, and if you're held up by this, it should not be for very long at all.
What is that route? Can you say what that route is? I'm guessing it's going to be what, like Pace to Palafox to Brent? Is that the route?
Well, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Andrew, it could be Cervantes to the interstate to Brent. I'm not sure on the route, but I do know that intersections and lights will be held for those ambulances so they can make the trip quicker.
Okay, so just, you know, if you see stuff going on Saturday, just don't be surprised by it. It's going to be obviously a very big, massive logistical operation. All right, maybe more of the fun part of the show. We had talked earlier about this, well, let's just say drunk stripper, who was arrested for DUI in Ohio. And, you know, I just want to give you a little sample of some of the audio here.
Okay. Get your flag in the car.
Listen, handsome man.
So she announces
that works in my club because I'm a stripper.
Sure enough. And she's being super friendly because she's she gets arrested and she's soiled herself and wants to disrobe.
Can I take it off?
No, leave it on.
In my hand.
Leave it on. Grace, just stop.
Yeah, and at one point, you know, she says,
taste me?
No.
Do it.
Stay in the blue box.
I like it kinky.
And offers that he can touch her. And so a lot of things are going on in this. And I think my very favorite comment was from the officer when sort of towards the end, he just finally says the giant sigh. Okay, so our suspicion is that this is not a rare occurrence, that young, drunk women and perhaps drunk men, but that this is not rare, that this is just the kind of thing that police deal with on the regular. Mike, routine or rare? What do you think?
It's rare, but it does happen. I remember a field training officer when I was a rookie telling me these sorts of things are going to happen, especially when, you know, with speeding tickets and things like that. But he also told me there's not a young lady out there worth losing your badge over. So you need to focus on your job and do your job. And then I can't speak for every police officer, but to me personally, having one a young lady try to manipulate my decision based on her. Herself like that is almost insulting. So she's liable to get a ticket faster than anybody else.
Very good. Manipulate your decision. Okay. So
I learned my lesson.
I know, right? That's exactly. Fine. No, and but one thing, and you know, this case, at least she was wearing clothes. You all have to deal with people who aren't always, right?
Yeah, that's true. And that's sort of when your raincoat in your car comes in handy. If you're going to have to wrestle one to the ground and put them in handcuffs, you need to be able to cover them up out in public. And that's, I can tell you, the raincoat's been used for that more than once.
I will,
because that's about all you have to cover them up.
Note to self: never accept Mike Wood's generous offer of a raincoat if he gives you one. All right, fair enough. that raincoat has been some places. You have a cop myth for us? We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know.
Yeah, and it's that the police departments or law enforcement agencies are very secretive. They like to withhold information from the public, and that's true and false, mostly false. I mean, we do things like the Citizens Police Academy. We've done ride-alongs. We're very open and transparent about what we do, but when we do have to keep information from the public, it's mostly temporary, and it's to keep the public safe, it's to keep officers safe, and it's to make sure we don't jeopardize an ongoing investigation. And once that investigation is over with, especially when it goes to court, everything is public record. Everything's going to come out. And so being secret is sometimes that happens. It's temporary, but there's a need for it. But most of the time, we're going to be very transparent. And my job is to communicate with the public and make sure they know exactly what we're doing. And I give as much as I possibly can every day.
You know, this is just another way that media lies about you, and particularly TV and movies lies about cops, because that idea of keeping information from the public is clearly one of the longstanding themes of what you see in what I would say is more recent, not necessarily like Dragnet era, but, you know, more recent stuff. Was it ever really a problem where you had, you know, police agencies found themselves trying to keep stuff from the public, or has it always been? I definitely know these days, you know, you all are very transparent and police agencies around the country are transparent. But was there ever a cultural time, I don't know, 20 years ago when it was less transparent, in your opinion?
Yes. I mean, I started 37 years ago, and I remember comments like, it's under investigation, we're not telling them anything. That did happen, but that's changed. You simply cannot do that anymore. You can't withhold the information, again, unless it's going to jeopardize the investigation or put someone in danger, but simply because of social media rumors. Those can get out of hand quickly, and it's very difficult to catch up and put the truth out there once. I've said this 100 times before, a lie can travel the world 6 times before the truth has a chance to get its pants on. So
right.
That's why we have to be transparent, and that's why we have to tell people what's going on.
And I know, you know, we've talked about this before, but I just want to mention it one more time, is I respect the job that you guys have to do as a news person. I want to know, and I want to tell people what they want to know, but I always figure that, look, you know, if my news reporting interferes with you protecting people and solving crimes and preventing, you know, evil, then I'm not serving the community. And so if you tell me, you know, Andrea can't tell you yet, I figure, okay, you know, we'll find out when we need to know, because the last thing I would ever want to do is have, you know, my eagerness to find out the truth of a story get in the way of solving a crime or, you know, help somebody to get away or anything like that. So I appreciate you reminding us about the information and the way it flows these days. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thanks for what you do and keeping us safe, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you.